Healthcare and senior care is fraught with problems and challenges, but we're also seeing some amazing new clinical treatments and resources. This show will help illuminate and uncover the good, bad, and the ugly in order to equip patients, families, and other healthcare providers. Welcome to Senior Care Confidential.
Hey, Joe.
Hello there, Brian.
So I had an interesting experience recently, and you ever had one of those conversations where you're talking about something and then the person you talk with like has this tangentially related subject that she just, he or she just kind of drops in there. You're like, whoa, come back to that.
Yeah.
So I had one of those with our dear friend, Priscilla Romans, a couple weeks ago, and it started this whole longer conversation on things I had no earthly idea that even were possible or existed. And so we invited Priscilla Romans to be on our show again today to discuss all the exciting things we're going to talk about today, but to kind of help set the stage, this is about, you know, when we're dealing with dementia and cognition with our seniors, there's, you know, there are some behavioral things that we can do. There's some speech therapy, cognitive trainings that we can do. But a lot of times it's like medication that's used to manage this stuff. And, you know, you can look at the research on that, and it's, you know, maybe slow some of the decline. Priscilla, you can talk more on this stuff in a second. It seems like it's just, once you're tagged with the diagnosis of dementia or Alzheimer's, it seems like you're just expecting this slow decline or sometimes fast decline. And so there's a new, I guess it's not even new because it's been around for a while, but it exists on what we call the dark side of the moon. It's all the stuff we're not supposed to know about. And so there's hyperbarics treatments for dementia that floored me when I learned about this. And so before we get to Priscilla, there's a short clip from a news studio that did a report on a family that's been using this.
An estimated 5.5 million people in the United States have Alzheimer's disease. Tonight, we are continuing our coverage of a gypsum couple who say, thanks to a new form of treatment, this disease doesn't have to be a life sentence. Our Shelby Bracho has the story.
I hate to even say this in front of you, honey, but he would take himself out of a situation, say, Thanksgiving with the whole family and friends over.
After seeing the effects of Bob's Alzheimer's, the Koskas considered buying a hyperbaric chamber.
Nothing else is working. Pills, nothing. Let's give this a try. And luckily we did.
And what is a hyperbaric chamber?
It's just like a supercharger for your cells. You know, just the same kind of physics of ramming air into a combustion engine is getting a more efficient burn of those engines and their fuel system.
We didn't know what to expect. Would it take a year? Would it ever work?
It would work. Bob says the results were almost immediate.
Just woke up, had a cup of coffee, sit up in my chair, and started a conversation. That was it. That's our third day, and it's, knock on wood, it's still pushing.
Ruthie and Bob try to do it at the same time every day.
We had to be at trick-or-treating, so we missed that day.
Priorities.
Yeah.
And Ruthie runs the show.
So he better be real nice to me because I'm in charge. So
nothing has changed.
And now Bob's back to joking with his best friend.
We're going to be married 50 years in March. Wouldn't that be sad if he couldn't be involved in it and couldn't remember it?
Let's think how quiet it is.
All jokes aside, the Koskas have seen real results from their hyperbaric chamber.
Been real good.
It's been just, you know, it's like a miracle. I truly believe that.
First on the Western Slope, Shelby Bracho, KREX 5 News.
The Koskas have only been using the hyperbaric chamber for a couple months and are blown away by the results.
Joe, have you heard of anything like this?
I have not heard, and I'm thinking about 80% of my clients that I have some type of dementia.
Yeah, I had no idea.
So I had no idea either.
We're going to introduce Priscilla so we get those conversations started. So this is Priscilla Romans. She is the owner of Great Care, and she is an expert in a lot of things that are, I don't know how you would say it, but
they're just not the norm.
They're not the normal stuff. Like it's the things that you don't find. We can get into this in a second, like in normal publications. And so she's kind of my go-to for like, hey, all the wacky stuff, what we would consider like alternative treatments. Like, what do you know about these things? And so, this dementia one, because what is it? The number is like one out of three of us will die of Alzheimer's is the, I think the current statistic, whatever. And so our medications aren't working the way that we would envision them to. And so things like this seem to have some validity. So before we get into the hyperbarics, what's like the typical treatment strategy for someone with dementia and Alzheimer's?
Yeah. So I want to also kind of go back, rail you in just a few minutes here, backing you up a little bit on the word dementia alone. So dementia is not a diagnosis. It's not a disease. It's not a mental illness. Dementia is a symptom. Dementia is a group or a combination of signs and symptoms that actually is a characteristic of neurocognitive disorder. So dementia is a symptom of something. And what this means is there's a root cause.
So hang on a second. This is
I'm sorry.
No, this is awesome because this actually, you know, sometimes if you ask the wrong question, you get the wrong answer, mm-hmm. right? The solution isn't the appropriate one. But when you start asking better questions, you oftentimes will get to better solutions. This is like a game changer for me because before you're always taught that there's like three or four different main types of dementia. There's vascular dementia, there's Alzheimer's, there's Lewy body, like all that, right?
Lewy body,
and so you think of those, I've been taught that those are classifications of dementia.
Yes.
Holy smokes. If we start looking at that as not a classification or a disease, but actually a symptom, that means there's something north of that. Yes. That actually can be addressed.
And those are types. Okay. So when we start digging and we go, well, what type of dementia do you have? Is it Alzheimer's? Is it frontal temporal lobe? Is it Lewy body? Those are some very common ones. And depending on the type is how the patient can start to plan and the caregivers can start to plan.
Sure.
Because it's very important to know the type for that planning. It's a really big deal. But I like to go back to, wait a minute, if dementia is a symptom, right? And there's a root cause. There's a root cause behind that. Why don't we uncover the root cause to see if we can scale back on some of those symptoms the person's mm-hmm. having, that's dementia, or can kind of halt it in its track, maybe even reverse it.
So just to clarify, we're talking about dementia not as a disease or a diagnosis code. We're actually talking about it as a symptom.
It's a symptom.
Okay.
So in layman's terms, okay, so what is a simple reason that would cause dementia? So that symptom, what is something that would cause the symptom of confusion?
Yes, that's great because dementia is confusion or it's loss of executive function. So for example, if you're going to get dressed in the morning, we know how to get dressed. The person that's waking up, they've lost that executive function of how to get dressed. They're losing memory. So when that's happening, we also have to go back to, wait a minute, what could be the root cause? Is there multiple infections? What are the infections? How are they being treated? Vitamin deficiencies, such as vitamin D, B12, B1. What about electrolyte? You know, it's that are out of whack. So the metabolic issue alone, just did the doctor draw the blood panel? What does the blood panel currently look at? What were the trends? Is there any changes that we can address right from there? That's very important. We don't want to skip that. We just don't want to say just because you have loss of memory, you have dementia. We need to get some facts as well. So the blood draw is very important. Are there underlying infections that haven't been addressed? Electrolytes, malnutrition, all of those things, there's a combination of things that could be root causes. Maybe there's something going on in the brain. Maybe we need to do an image of what the brain looks like, a PET tomography, MRI, all of that's going to give information. So usually people start going, my loved one's got memory loss. They aren't able to do these tasks anymore. The family doctor or primary care doctor says, I think we might have dementia we're dealing with. Okay. So they do like a mini kind of neuro test.
Right. However, that mini cog.
That's right. Yeah. But the referral actually should go to a neurologist where the neurologist can do a very, very lengthy assessment to go. It's much more lengthy. And then there also needs to be the blood looked at and also the imaging, right? So we're not missing anything because there are people that start to have this loss of memory or executive function loss. But maybe there's a brain tumor Maybe there's something there that needs to get picked up on imaging. So getting those facts first to make sure we're not being misdiagnosed is very important.
Well, and I know my son is a physician at the Cleveland Clinic. He does internal medicine. And he told me when somebody's inpatient in the hospital, they cannot diagnose them with Alzheimer's dementia. They always refer to a neurologist, you know. But I think for me as an advocate for patients, I get what you're saying, but families want answers right away, you know, and they want that magic pill. And a lot of times we will go to the primary doctor and they'll say, well, yes, you know, this test, you know, he's missed, you know, 7 out of 10, but let's you see a neurologist. So then the better neurologist in Dallas, sometimes it takes 4 or 5 months to get in.
Yes.
And what if it is something just as simple as an infection, like a low growing UTI, just a low growing infection bacteria that is causing that? As an advocate, that gets frustrating for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. No, I totally agree. And we've seen that. And that's why having a good patient advocate in your corner to start thinking about all of those questions, maybe not waiting weeks to see a neurologist, right? How do we help the person then? Because if that infection does get worse, then we're also at risk for falls. There's so much risk with that.
But can't we address, like, when we go to the primary doctor, step one, have them do labs? At least we would have
absolutely
a baseline.
Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely can be done. People actually don't even need to really see a doctor to go get labs drawn. There's walk-in clinics to go get labs, but a lot of people don't know how to interpret those. A doctor really does need to look at those to say, here's what it looks like, or somebody that can really give that information.
Okay, so assuming they've done all the right stuff.
Yes.
What's the typical treatment look like now, and what are the downsides of that? What's the success rate of those, and what are the downsides?
Well, the typical treatment right now is pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. And actually, pharmaceuticals could be part of the problem. People are on pharmaceuticals right now that are causing memory issues. There are adverse reactions to medications. So people need to be very aware, what pharmaceuticals are you on? And you need to look at the adverse reactions. If you are having an adverse reaction, then you need to discuss those things with the doctor that prescribed them.
What are some common drugs that are having adverse reactions with regard to cognition?
Oh my goodness, there's so many. There's so many. But typical drugs that a doctor is going to put somebody on for dementia, Aricept. Is a very, very mainstream one. If you go look up that medication within the physician drug reference, you're going to find other adverse reactions that you may not want to actually have. So those are things that you're going to have to weigh as the patient or caregiver to say, what is the risk? What is the benefit?
Yep.
And you need to be informed. If your doctor is not talking about those things, you probably need a new doctor, because it is important to discuss those things. Mm-hmm. Some of these medications can be very harming to people's body. Plus, if you really aren't addressing the root cause and you're just putting a Band-Aid with a pharmaceutical, I'm not for sure that's probably the best solution.
Right, right. So how did you first get exposed to hyperbarics? Because in my world, what little I know about hyperbarics, because I'm not a nurse, I'm not a doctor, we have had patients who've used hyperbarics for wounds.
Yep.
And so that's really all I ever see it for.
I've seen autism.
For autism too?
Yeah. Okay. And I know that's very beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Hyperbaric, or HBOT. So I got familiar with this because I was just searching things for one of my clients that had a lot of wound issues. Insurance wasn't covering the hyperbaric for their multiple wounds. And I was frustrated, going, this is absolutely insane. I want to know, I need to figure out a way to make sure he can get the hyperbaric done in a hard chamber. We can talk about hard chamber versus soft chamber. The video was showing a soft chamber.
Okay.
And so what's important is, as a patient advocate, I guess I just don't like the word no. And so I want to go find solutions. I want to help fix people. That's why I became a nurse to begin with. is I want to just help people, help fix them, sure. solution oriented.
So what did you find when you happen across the hyperbarics or HBOT for dementia? Was your mind blown like ours is right
yeah,
now?
Okay. Yeah. And when I spoke with Dr. Fogarty, who was in that video, we've become great friends now. When I told him that I was going to be on your show, he said, make sure you tell them. And he is just so passionate because of the research and the imaging. See, now he is a radiologist by trade. Mm-hmm. So he looks at the studies, he looks at the changes within the brain, and he can say in his mind, without a doubt, including kids with traumatic brain injury, that hyperbaric has changed their brain based off of the oxygenation. So it's the energizing of the cells again. Well, when we think of oxygen, oxygen's life. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's really cool to talk with Dr. Fogarty. I will tell you, every single time I talk to him, I learn more. He is the expert in the field. And if you go to a search engine, anybody that's watching this, just go to a search engine and put in Fogarty, F-O-G-E-R-T-Y, and dementia. And you will look up the publications that he has done with Dr. Paul Hirsch, and it is amazing.
How long has he been doing this?
Years. He's been doing this year. I mean, this isn't a new trend.
This is why I say it's like the dark side of the moon, because there's things out there, and we can talk about this in a minute. There's things out there that it seems like we're not supposed to know. I hate the whole conspiracy thing, but dadgummit, like sometimes you're just like, why is it that these things are not
discussed? You're hearing things on the news that Aricept and Namenda are not effective like they've said they are. Yeah. And so you don't know what to believe, you know?
Yeah.
Well, so what are the don't believe everything you hear on the media.
So what are the studies that Fogarty's done? What's the success rates? What are they seeing with that?
Well, what they're showing on the imaging is where it is kind of like just opening more windows for the person. It's opening up the cellular function. Because remember, oxygenation to the cells, you're re-energizing it. Okay. And what he explained to me was, Priscilla, you can't just put somebody in a hyperbaric and give them the full oxygenation and blast them. They're not going to feel good because their body, you're detoxifying, you're opening up, you know, the cellular level to new things that it hasn't seen for a long time. That can really freak people out to go, whoa.
So the recipe involves much more than just
much
hyperbarics.
Right. You've got to be nutritionally ready for this.
Okay.
And you've got to be able to have your body prepared. Things like good anti-inflammatories, like glutathione, spirulina, some of these things are things that he's spoken about that he uses in conjunction with the hyperbaric.
So question, can you get those at like Whole Foods, Trader Joe's?
A hyperbaric? No.
No, not the hyperbaric. I knew
that. It's right here in aisle 3. Yeah.
Spirulina. Mm-hmm. Can you get that at a Whole Foods?
That's right. Sprouts, Whole Foods, Amazon. Yeah, you just look. Those are supplements.
That again. Spirulina.
Glutathione. Glutathione is amazing. It's one of my favorites. You can get it in capsule form. You can get it liquid form. You can get it in IV form. I've had all of them.
Wow.
Glutathione is a high potent anti-inflammatory. And if you actually take something like a lot of people today have taken and popped in their mouth, is a Tylenol. Tylenol depletes the natural glutathione in your body.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. So there's a paper that Dr. Fogarty was quoted in. I'm going to read this.
Don't quiz me on it.
No, I got you. So it says the authors, this is Dr. Fogarty and the other guy that was in the study with him, note that there are four pathological processes that have been identified for primary treatment with cognitive decline. We'll just use that versus dementia. Yeah. It says the HBOT targets all four pathological processes by affecting microcirculation, mitochondrial dysfunction, which is those like the powerhouses of our cells, and biogenesis. And it goes on and on, but essentially it's controlling and reducing oxidative stress and inflammation just by using HBO2.
Yes.
And so what's cool about Dr. Fogarty, because he's a radiologist, you know, we discuss like there's clinical presentation and then there's the diagnostic stuff, right? And some ideally those things marry up. Sometimes when you have a patient that walks in your office or whatever, like they're saying something, but the labs or whatever says something completely different. And so what I like about him is he's actually doing PET scans in addition to doing the cognitive not treatments, but assessments, like, you know, the long form stuff. So we can see some improvements. There's subjective improvements from the patients that are doing this, but he's also looking at the PET scans to say, we're actually seeing brain changes here too.
That's right. That's right. And it's factual. That's what I really like about it. Because people struggle with the subjective information.
Sure.
Right. But you really can't, I mean, the scan's going to, it's either going to be there or it's not going to be there. And I love that. Now, maybe this might not be for all people, but the reason that I like knowing these things is because patients should have all of their options.
That's right.
Not just one of them.
So is there a doctor here in Dallas, like a Dr. Fogarty, that they could go to get this type of treatment?
Well, so Dr. Fogarty doesn't have like a massive amount of hyperbaric chambers. So we know how to get them for people. We can actually drop ship them to people. Those are soft chambers. Hard chambers are actually in facilities. They have to be licensed facilities. There is a facility here in the Dallas area that I've sent people to get a hard chamber treatment for hyperbaric. And usually they're set up just like you would go get massages, multiple massages. Mm-hmm. You're going to get your hyperbaric treatments. And they have a very tight ship as to how you need to use it. What do you come in? All of those things. It's very...
What's the average length of time that they have to be in the treatment? And how many weeks, months, whatever does it go for?
Sometimes
is this a lifelong thing?
It can be a very long treatment depending on where people are at in their progression. Same thing for wounds. So it'd be like wounds, pain management, dementia. It takes some time depending on what you're dealing with. But what I know of hyperbaric and the use of it is people are doing it on a schedule. These people that were doing it in their home, they do it very conveniently. That's why people are doing these drop shipments to their home. People want options. And I guess my thought is, what do you have to lose?
Is there a percentage of patients that see improvement with this? Like, is it, I don't know, 30% or 40% or 70% of the people who try hyperbarics are seeing some sort of improvement?
I don't think a lot of people have tried hyperbaric, actually, because this is a very new thing for people to even know about it. Now, Dr. Fogarty, he's definitely been talking about it. Yeah, he's got a lot more clinical information in terms of all the studies him and Dr. Harsh has done with their backgrounds. I really just came on this a few years ago going, wait a minute, this is amazing. How many people are diagnosed, you know, with these symptoms? And we're not even really talking about all of their options. We're just pushing pills.
So Priscilla, when they, if they decide they want to try this, how long, like Brian asked, how many minutes are you in the chamber?
Some people start at lower amounts because maybe they don't want to, we want to start lower oxygenation, lower time, because their body might need to get used to it. So sometimes maybe 30 minutes, under an hour, they're just in there. I know of people who are in their soft chambers and they're texting me and they're taking pictures out of their soft chamber and are like, I'm in my soft chamber right now. Awesome. That's great. So it's like a whole new world. And it's amazing to be able to go to people, you know what, if you haven't tried this, why not at this point?
And from the guy on the video, he had seen success within three days.
Yeah.
I know you have a couple clients that are using, have they started to see some improvements already?
Yes, they all have varied improvements, depending on their usage, right? Just like taking your supplements, right? Yeah. If you take your vitamin C one day, you're probably not going to see like magical improvements. So it's that consistency. It's that plan. It's that nutritional plan. It's being aware of your pharmaceuticals you're on that could be actually be, you know, not so great. Maybe we need to relook at those things. So it's a full game plan, right? Okay. So we just got through, you know, basketball season, right? With, you know, or we're in the middle of it with March Madness. Is what is your strategy, right? Yeah. And how are you going to, who's coaching you? And I really feel passionate that people shouldn't be left out there trying to figure out this on their own. So they need to have a team of people that they can bounce things off of, be their second set of eyes and say, you know what?
Right.
Here's another option we should look at.
So, okay. So some people have these in their own home.
Yes.
And what does that cost to get a soft chamber in your home?
There's different costs. People can go online and look at all the current pricing. I don't have the scale of pricing, but they can be up to a couple $1,000s easy, depending on the type of soft chamber you want. But if you're looking at that versus a hard chamber, it can be more cost effective, because if you're putting the drop chamber in your home and you're not paying, let's say, $3,000-$4,000 for a round of treatments at a hard chamber site, mm-hmm. You're saving yourself some dollars if it's something that you want to invest in.
Has Dr. Fogarty tried to get some, I know he has some stuff that's been published. Has he tried to get it like in the major publication? Because we all know, like, there's like four or five major journals that are like the scriptures for physicians, right? Mm-hmm. And so if they don't end up in there, then it's hard to get that information out. Has he tried to get some of these things published?
I'm sure he has. I don't know all of his publications that he's done, but he's a writer. He's not afraid to talk about this information because he wants people to know all of their options, and he believes in it because he's seen the results.
Yeah.
So in terms of publications, we know a lot of great studies that are blocked all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if it's because of the money behind all of it, but...
Well, the former editors of several of these journals have said that they are very concerned about the money that the drug companies are using. It's not necessarily the advertising piece of it. They say it's more of the sponsorship piece, because when there are, you know, there's self-funded studies that talk about their meds, mm-hmm. and they have great outcomes according to these studies. And so then they go out and they buy thousands and thousands of reprints of these publications. And so it becomes just a marketing thing. And so if you're doing things that they can't put a dollar sign on for meds, then I can see how that might be. If in fact these former editors, which I don't have any reason to not believe them, but multiples of them at multiple publications have come out and said, hey, this is a problem. Then this may be some of the reason why we don't get some of these things, which is why we call this the dark side of the moon. And so how do you find these things out if these five journals or four or five journals are the things we go to get the information from, and there's things that aren't allowed in? How do you get them?
You have a really awesome patient advocate team call. And you say,
join the rebel forces.
You say, here is my problem. What are all of my options?
Yeah.
Right. And we want to know what's their greatest worrying concerns. Because it's not just about the safety of the person, because those things are important, but why aren't we talking about all the options? I will tell you this. If we had all the information on vitamin D alone in the publications, it would blow people's minds. But it's not being talked about it because it's not a pharmaceutical, because it's very natural.
It's a penny a piece.
That's right.
Yeah. It's not enough money.
Okay. So for somebody like Brian and I that go to patients' homes, could we buy a soft hyperbaric chamber and take it patient to patient?
Well, I don't know about that answer per your licensing, right? That would be have to say something
but
that you
it
would
seems
probably
like it wouldn't matter.
I would have to look at the licensing of that, and I would say anybody that's doing that, make sure that is definitely something you look at, because
it's not a covered surface in our home. Right. I can assure you that.
But I mean, are they portable? Can you throw them in the car?
They're
going
portable.
On vacation and you take
they're portable.
Okay.
It's like a tent. Like a blow-up tent.
Yeah, it's like a blow-up tent.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
And remember, hyperbaric can be pressurized or it can be oxygen delivery. So there's two different sets and ways that the hyperbaric can actually operate as well.
Okay, so we talked about side effects of some other things. Are there side effects? Are there known side effects of hyperbarics
For patients that are using it? Well, what I do know from what Dr. Fogarty has told me is make sure you don't do too much too fast, because they could really not feel good. They could feel very nauseous. They could get headaches. And remember, this is like your body detoxing, mm-hmm. right? It's waking up.
Yeah.
And that's not a comfortable feeling. That's why a lot of people get scared of cleanses or detox, because they'll go, it's not convenient. Yeah, it's not convenient.
Oh,
you're right.
Trash in there. Yeah.
Your body's actually doing something, but we need to slowly ease into these things and make sure that it's a good fit.
Okay. And are you aware of how long it should take before you start to see some signs of improvement?
I think it would be very hard for anybody to tell you this is how long.
Yeah.
Because everybody's at a different clinical progression.
I gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Wow.
Yeah. This is so interesting. So how can people get in touch with you, Priscilla?
You can just go to graithcare.com. That's GRAITH care com, greatcare.com. And there's our number on the website, our email, there's a contact us, our intake team. If you do call them, they will actually call you back. It won't be like a robot calling you back. You'll get a real human. And you can tell them what your need is. And what we do is we're going to match you to the best fit advocate.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm just floored. This is why I was like, we have to have her back on.
I know. This is awesome. And I just think of so many of my clients that I think could benefit, you know, I'm so excited about this. I'm so excited to share. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been very informative.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.